March Madness disappoints BYU yet again as they fall to Duquesne. And it makes you wonder, Mitch, what can this team do to get a win in March Madness? Is it personnel? Is it strategy? Is it style of play? Like, if you think about, because there's a very realistic scenario ahead of BYU where a lot of this team comes back. And it was actually surprising to hear Jackson Robinson talk about the pain of loss post-game. Yes. And that he is even entertaining coming back. You got to seize on that if possible. Like, if he's not a guaranteed first rounder, get the NIL funds, do whatever you got to do to get this guy back. But after they lost that game, what do you think they need to do to get a win?
BYU needs legit bona fide stars every single night. They can't have this, we've got eight guys that can win on any given night. You need a star to win. And Jackson Robinson gave you a star-like performance. You could argue that was the best game of Jackson Robinson's BYU career.
It was, no doubt.
He was outstanding.
Yep.
And he was doing a little bit of everything for BYU. It wasn't just, oh, he scored 24 points on eight threes. Like,
right.
He was getting to the rim.
Yep.
He was playing well defensively. Like, he was doing a lot of things for BYU that looked like a star. It was just the start was terrible, and I think BYU needs a faster start. But I'd also say, too, BYU needs to be a better three-point shooting team this year. There was so much talk about
the volume.
Yeah, the volume of threes. But this was nowhere near as effective and efficient of a three-point shooting team as Mark Pope's first team. That team in 2020 that got the NCAA tournament taken away because of COVID, they were lights out from
three.
They were
top of the country in percentage.
Yes. Number one, 40%. I think it was 41% that year. They were incredible. And this group, honestly, once Big 12 play started, they were not a good three-point shooting team. Yes, they would have the 13 of 36 nights, and that was a great equalizer against the Kansas. But, you know, if you were shooting at the clip that first Mark Pope team was, you would have been rolling through many teams. And they just were not as good of a three-point shooting team when the competition ramped up in conference and the postseason, and that hurt them. They've got to be more consistent shooting the three. BYU has to be elite shooting the three. We know the volume will be there, but you've got to knock them down at a higher clip. BYU has to be a team with how their personnel is constructed, and I like the makeup of the roster, and I think they're going to be better next year. I do, and we'll talk about that in the future, but or coming up a little bit later this show. But I just think that they got to be more. They got to shoot a higher percentage from three.
I do think there is one roster tweak that needs to be made. And that would be, I think they need some size. And they weren't small. Ali Khalifa's tall. Noah Waterman's tall. Atiki was unavailable, but he's got a little size. Foos is really only the undersized guy. But I just felt like you need another big or two. And they were there to be had last offseason. There were multiple guys that transferred to the state of Utah from other schools, whether it be transferring, you know, Spencer Johnson's brother transfers from Oregon to Utah State.
Would have been nice to have that guy.
Yeah, he
and
drops 19.
People were saying, like, why would you want him? He didn't even play at Oregon. Well, he's 7 feet, and he just didn't get the opportunity at Oregon. Oregon's a pretty good program.
Yeah.
But I bring that up because BYU beat that Oregon team, and everyone thought, did you see him in those 5 minutes? He looked terrible. He's 7 feet, and he's a local guy. You want that guy.
You can't have enough seven-footers, and the thing is, I felt like at the end of this year, as Khalifa, you know, the lower body injuries maybe were taking a toll. And then on top of that, you've got Ramadan, so he has no energy because he's fasting. And Atiki had an injury, had a hand injury for most of the year. I just felt like if you had one other big that was 7 feet tall, they had no rim protection against Duquesne. There was no one there. And Foos plays way above his size, but you can't rely on that night in and night out. Like, I would have loved that guy at Utah Valley who is 7 feet.
I was surprised, too, in the matchup against Duquesne, how Foose's physicality and his base just didn't overpower Duquesne. In the Big 12, Foose was seriously one of the strongest big men in the league.
Yep.
But against Duquesne, I mean, they kind of stonewalled Foose at times. And, again, credit Duquesne. You know, I don't think they're, you know, this all-world beater that they look like.
No.
But on that day, BYU, let down their guard and lost to a, you know, quad two opponent. And that's what's a bummer about this tournament is that one, you know, mediocre day and it's over.
Yep.
And if you're not, you know, and I think that BYU, what's exciting though moving forward for BYU is that they've got a product, I think, that's inviting. If you're an offensive-minded guy, you want to play in BYU system, I would think. Like, oh, you're gonna let me be the Jackson Robinson role, but maybe as a starter, where I got the ultimate green light? I want to be in that offense. I want to be able to fire off 15 threes. I just think there's better days ahead, but you can't assume you're always going to be a sixth seed. You can't assume you're going to get a Duquesne who is barely inside the top 100 of advanced metrics. You can't assume. You have to capitalize in that moment. And I think BYU, watching how Illinois played against Morehead State, BYU could have hung with Illinois. When BYU's at its best, they could have hung with that team.
Totally.
Watching them against Morehead. So BYU squandered an opportunity, Matt. And I think that's what's discouraging about it is that they let go of a golden opportunity. You can never assume you're just going to get back. And it's going to be better.
For sure.
So they got to get back to the drawing board and improve on this.
Let's take a break. News, traffic, and weather coming your way. We'll change gears to some football. Justin Enna, linebackers coach, joins us on the other side.